We have been on a journey through the Word of God based on the subject or the series title of He is Able. And we have been looking at Bible verses throughout the Scriptures that teach and declare unto us God's great ability in the different arenas of our life and areas of our life. And it's been such a joy to do that. We found very early in the Bible, God announced to His people that there was nothing that was too hard for Him or nothing that was impossible for Him to accomplish within His will there. And we found as we read the Bible, very often throughout the Bible, God reminded His people of His great ability. And so as I was reading that and thinking about that and searching that and studying that, God laid on my heart a series. So we've been going through the different verses and looking at those subjects as to God's ability as it is defined in the Bible, in the arenas and the areas that He's able to help. And we've been learning about that and adjusting ourselves and being blessed accordingly. Last week, I brought you to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9 and to verse number 8. And that once again will be our text tonight. And I will read the verse to you. And the verse says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." This verse has been a reality in my life. This verse has been a wonderful joy in my life. When I learned God's ability as it is communicated to me through this verse, it began to open up my eyes as to how God works in my life and how God organizes and orchestrates within my life and the purpose that God works in and through my life. And really and truthfully, it helped me understand my position as a believer. It helped me to understand my practices as a believer, and it helped me understand the purpose of God within what He has blessed me with in my life. I told you last week that Paul's announcement to the church at Corinth about God's ability in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 finds itself within the context now of Paul communicating to the church at Corinth on the subject of missions. And really and truthfully, as you dissect the subject of missions, Paul's really talking to them on the subject of giving. And I preached you a message on Sunday entitled "The Grace of Giving." And when you really boil down these two chapters, he's talking about missions from a financial point of view. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, really and truthfully, is Paul teaching under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, God's people about missions and about how to approach missions financially, but in a broader context, he's really teaching God's people God's plan of economy and how God works economically. And this verse is in response to chapter 8, verses 6 and verse number 7, where the apostle is writing and instructing the church at Corinth that as they abound and as they spiritually grow in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. And so here's what 2 Corinthians 9, 8 says to the church at Corinth and says to us. It says that as I reckon and give by grace, then God will, according to His ability, be able to measure grace back to me. And so Paul's teaching the church at Corinth that I want you to add to your portfolio, to your perspective here, I want you to add financially and learn how to give. I want you to learn how to give. Now, we said last week and Sunday, we're not talking about tithing here. We're talking about giving, which is after that. And Paul says, now, I know I'm talking to you about this subject. It's a grace, and it's a volunteer, and it's tender, and I'm teaching you the purpose of this. And as I'm asking you to add to your growth this grace, in return, God is promising you that you can count on him. By the way, I've never found where God to be unfaithful in my life. And so Paul, in teaching them this verse, he's teaching the believers at Corinth how God's economic plan works. How God works economically. Have you ever prayed and asked God for more money? Many of us have, right? So what Paul's wanting the Christian to know and see is that God's economic plan for his child is vastly different than the world's plan. Now here's the world's economic plan. Buy low, sell high, right? We probably practice that. You buy properties low, you try to sell them high. You buy stocks low, you try to sell them high. You buy cars low, you try to sell them high. We understand if we want to make money in the world's economy, by the way, nothing wrong with making money in the world's economy. We have to participate in that. I'm not saying that. But the world will teach you, if you want to get ahead and you want to be financially sound, learn how to buy low, sell high. God is teaching you that his financial plan is vastly different. God's financial plan is give and receive. The world's plan, buy low, sell high. God's plan, give and receive. Stop. Pastor, are you teaching prosperity giving? I'm telling you that if you operate in God's plan of economy, you will be prosperous in that plan. But I'm not preaching to you that you somehow are going to amass wealth or that you're somehow going to be able to become the goal of your own spending. You're not going to be able to live selfishly in God's plan. However, Jesus said, give and it shall be given unto you. So Paul is saying to the church at Corinth, now, I'm asking you to add to your spiritual growth the grace of giving, and I'm letting you know that God's response to that is God is going to begin to measure a receiving part to you. And really and truthfully, in chapter 9, verse number 8, is something what Brother Jack Taylor dug out for us. And I mentioned this to him about him last week. And he put it so beautiful. And I'm preaching his material tonight as far as from his book and the helps that he has. In this verse, there's something called God's cycle of sufficiency. Last week, when I got done preaching, I don't always, but sometimes I have enough courage to ask Beverly, how did I do? That doesn't always go well for me. So she said, you want me to be honest? I thought, oh, brother, no, I don't want you to be honest. She said, I think we need to see it. She said, you're talking about the cycle of sufficiency, but I think we need to see it. So based upon what she said, I put together, had Reuben put together some slides tonight that I want you to be able to visualize and see how this verse is going to teach you God's plan of economy and let you see how God works in your life in this cycle with the promise of sufficiency in your life unto every good work. I've got to the point in my life where I don't want to be poor. And I've gotten to the point in my life, honestly, where I don't want to be rich. I, as the pastor, get to rub shoulders with poor people and rich people. And you know what I have found? Both have problems. The poor people, they think the answer to their problem is you know, they want to be rich. And the rich people will tell you their problem is they have too much. The poor people say, well, I'll take some of that. And the rich people, they get all the money, but then they gotta keep the money. And the Bible says that money has wings and it like flies away. So they're trying to hold on to their money. The poor people are begging for money. And so I kind of get to rub shoulders with both. So I know I don't want to be poor and I don't want to be rich. Where I've learned to be is I just want to be sufficient. Even in the book of Proverbs, Solomon wrote about that. Not being poor, not being rich, but being sufficient. So as I have learned in my life that really and truthfully, the sufficiency that I want to be in is found in the grace of God here. And I'll talk to you about this in just a second. I want to live my life as God enables me to be sufficient under the life that he wants me to live. And to be honest with you, the life that God wants you to live in God's will and God's plan for your life will be the most peaceful way you can live your life. So I want to show you how this works. So last week I started at the top of a circle. You remember that, right? And we started at the top of the circle with the ability of God. And that was what we were talking about here. And we said that God's ability, and you see it on the screen, is really and truthfully the might or the power of the sufficiency of the cycle of sufficiency. And we talked about this is a beautiful and wonderful place to begin because the word able there is the word dunamis, which is the word dynamite. And Paul is saying, now I'm asking you to add to your life this grace of giving. And the response to that is I'm letting you know that we're going to begin this cycle of sufficiency with the ability of God. And when you look at verse number 9, and God is able, what a way to start a verse. And I would let you know that this is the foundation, this statement, this truth, God is able, upon which rests the whole eternal plan of God's economy. And we talked about God's ability being two things. Number one, it's unqualified. What do you mean by that, Pastor? I mean by that, God is able to do what? He's able to do anything. And he's able to do everything. God is able to do anything and everything in your life that is needed to be done to meet the needs of our lives. There's no limit. God doesn't make an annual salary. God doesn't need overtime to make ends meet. God doesn't know any cap. God is able. Unqualified to meet any ability. Able to do anything. And not only is his ability unqualified, it's also unchanging. What does that mean? We talked about that. If God was able yesterday, then God is going to be able today. And if God is able yesterday and God is able today, then God is going to be able tomorrow. You're never going to find a time in your life where God is not able. He's always able to meet our needs. Now here's where you've got to understand some things about God. Never will God count on your ability. Praise the Lord. Never will God depend on your ability or mine. He will always depend upon his own ability. He will never expect us to fall back on our ability. He always expects us to trust by faith his ability. And here you what you need to understand about God too. God will do what he must do to keep you dependent on his ability. Well, God, if you would just give me $10,000 in my bank, I sure would do what you want me to do. No. God's going to give you $10 today. He's going to give you $10 tomorrow. He's going to give you $10 the next day. God's never going to give you or me and position us where we don't need him day by day and moment by moment. No, but Pastor, if God would position me strong financially, then I would be sure to trust God every moment of every day. And I would say, God probably knows that not to be true. This is how God responds to us. So God will always keep us dependent on his ability. And he will drive us back upon our own weaknesses to keep us next to his strength and glory. Pastor, it just seems like I never get ahead. Well, welcome to the club. Right. I never get ahead. Right. Because God is never going to let you get ahead of him. Ever. Pastor, it seems like we're stuck right here and we just, right. But that's what God will do. God's never going to let you get to the place where you can depend upon your own ability, especially in the area of finances. He's always going to keep you in a place where you've got to depend upon him and his ability. We don't like that until we understand that the ability of God is unqualified, which means that there's no end to that. It's all encompassing, and his ability can meet every need that we have. We said as we move down the cycle from God's ability, then we move to the point of God's of the all grace. God is able to make all grace abound toward us. That's what the Apostle Paul is talking about. From the point of God's ability, all grace abounds. What does it mean, all grace? Now listen to this. The word for grace means a manifestation of divine presence, activity, power, or glory. What the Apostle Paul is speaking here is the verb form of this means to give, to bestow, to deal generously, or to deal graciously with. And so the Apostle Paul is letting us know that within God's ability is God's grace. And God's grace is his bestowment to us of who he is, his presence, his activity, his power, and his glory. There's little doubt that all grace refers to such a supply that there is no need outside the riches of God's amazing grace. And so as God's ability works, he funnels that down through his grace. Now remember, Paul said, you add this grace of giving, and God will meet all grace for you. So God's all grace will encompass not only your financial statement, but God's all grace can encompass all the needs of your life can be met by the grace of God. By the way, your greatest one better be met by the grace of God, that being salvation. As you move, the verse says that God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Notice twice in that verse is the word abound. What does the word abound mean? It carries with it in the Greek to mean increase, overflow, excel, exceed, have plenty, have more than enough, to provide in abundance. Praise the Lord. There is nothing mere about the grace of God. It is abundant. Why is that important? Because as we're moving from God's ability into the all grace, Paul said, God is letting that grace abound towards you. As it abounds towards you, it brings to you an ability, an overflow, a plenty, and enough, an abundance. And look at the motion of it. It abounds toward us. Toward us. As you move along the circle, you see as you come to the bottom of the circle that God's grace is abounding toward us. Now look at the top. The source of the cycle is what? The bottom of the circle is who? Half a circle is called a what? Semicircle. Is a semicircle a complete circle? No. So there is no way in the world that God is going to flow out of his ability, his grace, abounding toward you and stop it with you. He's not going to do that. God is not looking for you to be a dam. He's looking for you to be a channel. And so Paul is walking us through a cycle of sufficiency or a circle. At the top of this, you got to understand is God's ability. I'm at the bottom of this. I am not the completer of the circle. I'm not the end of the circle. I am a channel on the circle. If you understand that, say amen. Okay. At the lowest point of the circle, we see ourselves. We are the objects of his abounding grace. God needs us in that circle, and God needs us to know the abounding of his grace because our thorough adequacy is a necessity in this cycle. I want to say it again while I'm talking. Hold your hand here. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. See a verse that I'm going to give you. Don't lose me. 2 Timothy 3, you may have to fight mentally to stay with me, but I'm teaching you something that will change your life. Our thorough adequacy, that's the abounding of the grace of God, as it motions toward us, is a necessity in the blessed cycle. Look, if you would, at chapter 3, verse 17 of 2 Timothy. Or actually, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be halfly furnished unto all good works. No. That the man of God may be, say it, thoroughly furnished, perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So here's what God says to the preacher. I've given to you in the word of God everything you need to be adequately, thoroughly prepared and enabled to preach the word of God. You don't have to go into that message, Tom, half-hearted. You don't have to go into that message, Tom, half-prepared. You're not having a half-full clip or a half-full of anything. You get to be thoroughly, perfectly finished with the under the good works because of the scripture of the word of God being inspired. God was important that the man of God is thoroughly furnished, but it's also important to God in the cycle of sufficiency that you and I are adequately filled with the grace of God or the means of God. Those things that I was talking to you about that we're adequately overflowing, that we have what we need. There's nothing mere about the grace of God. Many Christians are confused about their liberty to gain material wealth. I love what he says here. Some people say that Christians should have nothing of this world's goods, which means we ought to all be poor. I'm glad I don't listen to that guy. Listen to what he references here to Dr. James Baker. Baker James said. He was asked by a newly appointed missionary about how much material they could take to the mission field with them. His reply was, "As much as you can take in your hands." His implication was that when material goods begin to seize the heart, they become too much. God is willing for you to have as much of this world's goods as you can hold in your hand without getting them in your heart. God is willing, according to this verse, for you to have as much of this world's goods in your hand. But you can't let the world's goods get in your heart. Help me with this. The love of money is. So for a Christian, it's not that we can't have wealth that would be considered worldly wealth. It's not that you can't have nice things. It's not that you can't make money. It's not that we can't do these things. But you need to understand that God is never going. He's going to prevent as he can from you falling prey to the wealth of the world in your heart. God is willing to allow you to have as much as you will determine to use to glorify his name. This is where we're going with this. Our adequacy is vital to the extension of the work of God. We are made adequate through the means of our adequacy, the needs of others can be met. This is what Paul is teaching. This is the whole impact of this verse. It doesn't mean that God's adequacy in our lives stops with us. It carries with it the idea that we are merely a point along the circle of glory, which begins with God and which ends with God. And so many Christians, we don't understand that because we don't understand our place in God's plan of economy. We're attracted to material things. We find security in material things. We find all these things, and to some degree, they're not wrong. But when that security and that joy is elevated over things over God, that's a problem. That's a problem. And so in God's plan of economy, God works on giving and receiving, but God is not going to furnish you adequately with his grace so you can just keep it for yourself. He won't do that. And most Christians don't understand that. And they don't understand that. And I mean this kindly, you've built your own dam to the plan of economy with God by not learning giving and receiving. And God's telling you, I don't buy low and I don't sell high. And I don't just give you my grace or my wealth or my abilities or these things so they can stop with you. That's not my interest. Well, Pastor, what is his interest? Oh, I was hoping you would care. Verse number 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every what class? Now watch how the cycle moves up. Run the next slide. That God is going to take his ability. Out of his ability comes his grace, which is sufficient to anything we would ever need. That grace is going to abound in us to make me adequate to whatever God has called me to do, that I may abound, and then flip the next one, unto every good work. And so what is God wanting to do? God is wanting for us to understand that he's interested in his work. And if God is interested in his work, then God is interested in you as his workman. men. And so God has a work to do. This is why my dad used to tell me all the time. He didn't even know he was telling this book, but he would say, Tommy, God has wealth and God has a work. And the way that God gets his wealth into his work is through his people. That's what he was teaching me. Now, I believe God has wealth, and I want that wealth. But I'm not sure I want it to flow as much as I've wanted to have it so I could be secured, so I could be whatever. God says, now, no, 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 no. Paul says, now, understand what's happening here, Corinth. I'm telling you that as you add this grace of giving, which was a good work, this was the work of missions. And so the response back to him was, God's grace is going to abound in you, and God's grace is going to adequately provide and sustain and make you sufficient so that you then can abound to this good work. And as God's grace is abounding in you, then God's grace, as it abounds in you, will make you adequate, and then it abounds out of you toward every good work. What is a good work? Okay, let's talk about that. Let me give you four ways to identify a good work. I'll give them to you very quickly. First off, it's a work that's initiated by God. Secondly, it's redemptive in its nature. God never supports a cause which does not fit properly into his overall plan of redemption. Thirdly, it must exist to God's glory, not man's glory. And fourthly, and I'll repeat them, it must have as its purpose to exalt Jesus Christ in everything. Now, you and I, as we've been saved, we have been created unto good works. And my goodness gracious, you got all kinds of things that could be labeled as good works. Your church, missions, special institutions, needy individuals, certain movements. These are works that are initiated by the Lord. These are works that are redemptive in nature. These are works that bring glory to God, not man, and works that have as a purpose to exalt Jesus Christ in everything. Now, when you fit this in the context of 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, Paul's telling the church at Corinth, you need to participate in the good work of missions. This is a work of grace that God has done in and will do through you. And I promise you, as God, out of God's ability, which is way greater than you could ever imagine, it's limitless, as that flows in and through you and makes you adequate, let it flow out of you unto every good work. Now, God is interested in you and I in participating in good works because we've been created unto good works. If you haven't been created unto good works, you're not saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. What does that mean, Pastor? That means I'm not saved by doing good works, but because I'm saved, I now have the ability in me as the Holy Spirit resides in there to know righteousness and then to give myself to good works. Now, God has a plan and a will for your life. And within that plan and that will, God has created you unto good works. And those good works, many times, can be a financial work. It can be other things. And here's what God is saying through the cycle of sufficiency. I have a work that I want to do. It is a work, Tom, that is above your ability. This is a work that will come out of my ability. I will flow my grace down to you. I will let it abound and build in you sufficiency. But Tom, don't dam it up. As I flow in you that, you need to abound unto the good work. And as long as you are letting me flow into you and through you unto good works, then that cycle of sufficiency will build. Now watch where it goes to every good work. The verses take us in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and it takes us to the thought of thanksgiving to God is what it does. After it creates in us, through us to the good work, it creates us to the glory of God. That's ultimately where the cycle is headed. So what does God want to do? He's got work that he wants to perform in and through you. That work, he does not want to bring glory to you. He wants that work to bring glory to him. By the way, all of God's people ought to want to glorify the Lord. Right? And as I abound unto that good work, and I give myself to that good work, and I add that, then from that good work goes to the glory of God. And then from the glory of God, the circle is completed right back to the ability of God. And then do you know what God does? He runs that circle all the way again in my life. And do you know what happens again? He runs that circle all the way into my life. And I find that as I begin to orchestrate my life, trusting the grace of God, God's great promise, and understanding what God is doing with his resource, what God does with his love, what God does with his kindness, what God does with his mercy, what God does with his finance. The promise was, give and it shall be given unto you. So what as I give, that I receive. In this case, it's finances. It's not finances so that I can be selfish or that I somehow can dam them up. It's God flowing in and through me sufficiently for me to be able to accomplish good works. This is why every Christian can give to missions. Because God's telling you, out of my ability, I will provide all that you need to have, Tom, to be sufficient so that you can abound to this good work, so that that good work can bring glory to me. Tom, you're not the end all on the circle. You're a channel on the circle. But Tom, I will never ask you to do anything that I will not provide for you. I will never guide you where I cannot care for you. And Tom, if you will live your life on that plan of economy that I will do, you will find sufficiency in me. I was 30 years old when I learned how to live in the cycle of sufficiency of God's amazing grace. And I can tell you from that point forward, God has enabled me to participate in his work on a level that I never dreamed possible. This is not something that I manipulate. This is not something that comes out of my own just whim. But you will find as God moves on your heart and God says, my brother is broken and he needs help. And if God moves, and Malcolm's not just an illustration, you find out a brother has a need in this church and God lets you see the need in the meeting of that good work, then what God's doing, God say, trust my ability. I will flow the grace through you. I'll channel that through you under that good work. And what I guide you to do in that brother's life, I promise you, you can count on me to be faithful. And I have found that as you do that, then God just enlarges. He enlarges the work. And pretty soon, that flow is just the way that you live your life constantly. And by the way, God always takes care of his servants. Pastor, do I have to give everything I own away? No. No. But if you're going to operate on God's economy, you have to give what he asks you to give. And then God will make you sufficient to that. His ability, all grace, abound toward me, that I may abound to every good work to the glory of God. Right back at his ability, and we start all over again. Amen? All right, let's pray.